Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Round 18 of the NRL begins, and it's JT with a familiar face or familiar voice, I guess. It's Lakey. He's back in the chair. How you going, buddy?
I'm trying to be happy, mate, but it's depressing being back from Europe, unfortunately. But no, it's good to be back and talking to your fine voice.
Regular Tuesday sessions back in order. I actually missed it last week in the wash-up of Origin, the post-hangover for that one that also claimed Cam Munster, so I'm in lucid company. But no podcast last week, so good to have you back in country. A highlight of the we had a Bucks weekend, or I guess a couple of weeks over there. Highlight.
Wedding week with the Bucks tonight, and so it was just good. We went over there and I just cruised around and explored Portugal as much as I could and met some cool people and spent a couple of weeks just having a ball. So I couldn't really pick out one particular instance. Every bit was amazing. One of my last Uber drivers actually, they've all got a second job. He handed me his real estate card and I thought, this is tempting. Maybe I'll strap in from over here.
An intercontinental podcast. We wouldn't have many listeners in Portugal, I can imagine, but hopefully you spread the gospel of Supercoach, although I do hear that you probably weren't as active over there. I feel like, someone else also familiar was managing your team?
Yes, handed the reins off to old website favorite Joe Fitz. So he helped me out while I was over there because, as I say, I'd be waking up in, 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning, and the game's already halfway done for the afternoon. So there was no chance I was getting up for Stilesy's reports and trying to figure out who was and wasn't playing. So I just went, screw it. I'm on holiday. Someone else can deal with my rubbish team for a couple of weeks.
Well, he did get you an 1166 last week, just having a quick look now. So, I mean, it's not the worst. There's a few three digits in that Copes, having a look at him in our Young Legends League. But how about shout out? Unfortunately, Serge has fallen a little bit. He's still 544th, which is huge. But how's Nick's boys, Kirker, site founder? He is absolutely flying 308th. I can't believe
Jesus.
It. I cannot.
The Kirkup format goes hard. I think he's had his three best years since walking away and not paying any attention to the game whatsoever. He's killing it.
But he was even posting stuff and throwing stuff into the chat overseas as well on a getaway. So, I don't know, he's kept the app open. So, he's absolutely flying. I don't know how many trades he's using, that kind of thing. But, he's 1241 last week. So, he's in the very much the business end. Normally, like the Broncos, tends to fade away a little bit. So, hopefully, he keeps up the strategy of not trying too hard. But how's Stilesy as well, mate? We're in pretty good company here. Styles, the Turnstiles, has got a 601 ranking. That's pretty huge.
Jesus. Mate, we've got to get these people back on the pod who know what they're talking about. You and me are the anchors of this website.
Mate, I'm flying in 7,008.
Oh, you're killing me.
And climbing rapidly. There's just, all the captaincy stuff's been going well. I've been picking the right reserves. Haven't had any really shit players in the side, although Darby Mawale resurrecting himself last week was pretty disastrous. But I shouldn't be talking to you about last week because you probably weren't across it all and you're still on jet lag time. So how about we focus on round 18? You, on record time, got the Teamless Tuesday news out. We'll go through that later in the pod. We'll go through the ins and outs as we normally do with trades. A lot to talk about in there. Some guys, popular trade outs this round. And then, of course, we've got bye week next week. So it's a pretty tricky little stretch here, and then captain's vices to close out. Just a quick one on how your team is going in terms of trades. Where are you sitting?
I think I got 12 before this week, so it's not too bad, but I mean, I'm quickly running out.
Yeah, well, we've got 10 or so rounds to go, all the way to round 27, where we know that's pretty a decent chance of people getting rested. So I mean, having that sort of one per week from now on is not probably that bad. And I think if you're like me, have you got a lot of players that you're kind of umming and ahhing about picking in and out of your side each week? Like, who do you put the last R on and that kind of thing?
Yeah. I think I've got a good solid 18, 19 players, but there's one or two guys I've still got my eye on just to try to finish off the team before I start, you know, saving some trades and looking towards that end run home, and then possibly, you know, trading out guns for matchups and whatnot if I've got the trades up my sleeve. But yeah, a couple of guys still on the peripherals, but I don't know. Just screw it. I'm that far down. I may as well just throw the trades into the wind and see what happens.
Love it. Let ChatGPT do your work for you. All right, we'll get into that a bit later. But yeah, otherwise, it's great to have you back, and let's get into the Teamless Tuesday news.
Oh, did you see that?
Did you see that? Indeed, Lakey. I think you said off air your entire prep over the last couple of weeks all led up to your Round 18 Teamless Tuesday stuff. So I'm going to throw to you. I've written down a couple of, I guess, major ins and outs, but what's the talking points of Round 18 in the NRL?
I think the biggest one across the board is the return of JMK once again, named last week, I believe, and was a late out with a shoulder injury. But he's been named again, and from all reports, should be right to go this weekend. So he's back in. His inclusion and Sean O'Sullivan, I saw him come back. He's been named in the seven. So Isaiah Katoa, survives, and Cody Nikorima goes back to a utility role, which not the worst for anyone still holding on Katoa, but obviously not the best either. He's not scoring well at all by the looks of things.
So I guess he's saving it for round 19. He's got to die for people.
And then that's the only saving grace. That is, he is still in the starting side. He could be replaced by Cody at any stage, I would imagine, but at least he's still there for the time being if you need that extra number next weekend. The other big one, the biggest news I probably should have started with is this Rhys Walsh conundrum that we've got going on. He has been named. He's fighting things at the judiciary. It's going on as we record. We're going to keep hitting refresh on that, see if we can get some updates, but they're still going up through final summations at the moment. So we won't have any news on that for the time being.
I guess you got Tristan Saylor in the in the wings, just waiting on if he is ruled out, which I don't know. There seems to be some compelling arguments from his mates at the judiciary, which always.
Those good old Queensland boys all got each other's backs, mate. So they're all coming in flying from the wings to throw in their support.
It's just not his go. He's a good bloke. No, he's just calling me an FNC.
That's right. That's how we talk to each other in Queensland. It just and I explained this to all the Toronto and Canadians when I was overseas. The C-bomb just means mate in Australia, so we're all happy-go-lucky here.
Absolutely.
Other news, Josh Curran goes on to an edge with Murata Niokore out, suspended for 3 weeks. So that's a little bit interesting, but he's got a huge break-even. You probably have to wait for that to come down, and then it's not probably worthwhile grabbing him in. All the Panthers are back, which means Zach Hosking and Tyrone Peachey-Days are over. At this stage, they might get another run with Origin 3 just around the corner and possibly some restings after that. But for the time being, they are out of the side altogether.
I don't know if you maybe not followed along Ivan Cleary's post-match presser, but he kind of alluded to the fact that if it was I think it was because it was an interstate Origin game that he decided to rest them, and that maybe his protocol going forwards. I think without really knowing where they're backing up from post Origin 3, that if it is in Sydney, they're probably likely to play. Maybe that's overreading it, but yeah. No, you're sitting in first. They can do whatever they want.
Well, in saying that, the first game was in Adelaide and they all backed up, so I don't know what to read into that. Maybe Adelaide's just a new suburb of Sydney.
I should actually say they can do everything they want except beat the Cowboys in Townsville.
Yes, I've heard your boys are flying at the moment. I've been waiting for this to come up. It took a lot longer than I was expecting, if I'm being honest.
Speaking at the right time.
Now, let's go on to talking about your Cowboys. Lolo has been named again after being withdrawn from last week's game with his hamstring issues. He's been on the extendeds this week. I'm assuming he's going to get pulled in, providing that hamstring's okay, but we remain to be seen. Styles will have the late mail on that. Jeremiah Nanai is back on his starting edge. he's really bottomed out, Nanai, but with Origin next week, it's possibly worth waiting just another week so you've got the numbers for there. And in his stead, Fine Fuyaki, I want to say.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, sounds good.
He's had a couple of massive games, back-to-back tries, one against the Panthers, I believe, as you alluded to, and then last week against the Bunnies. So he's got a very healthy negative break-even. But game time is a concern with him.
Yeah, it's that kind of factor, right? If he's going to be there 20, 30 minutes in the back end of the season, you're not really getting too much out of a short-term cash grab. So you need trades up the sleeve to do it. I really like him, good attacking player.
But you've got you guys can churn him out, and that, but you've got Helam Lukey around the corner who's going to come back as well. You've got Luciano and Nanai. I just don't know how much minutes there are for another edge back rower when all those guys are healthy.
And when you got a 65, 70-minute player in Jack Granville, ready to be unleashed anywhere on the park. Like, it's tough for these young guys to find
time. Utility, Jake Granville, he can come in and steal minutes from everyone. He'll be playing prop for Lolo.
Oh, mate, absolutely. Put him at fullback. Yeah, yeah. Wind back the clock. Why not? Drinky, you've done enough.
What's Drinky done lately? He doesn't deserve that spot anymore. Elsewhere, I touched on JMK back in for the Dolphins, but Braden McGrady has dropped out with Tessie New coming back in. VTW is still in the side. I don't know what's happening with old mate Brenko, but VTW is there for the time being. Talking about my boys, anyone with Dylan Lucas who grabbed him as a cheapie has been disappointed. He's been dropped from the side altogether with the return of Lockie Fitzgibbon. And Dane Gagai is out with a foot injury, being replaced by,
Inari.
Yeah, so it doesn't do much as far as Supercoach goes. It's not a concern. Moving on, Manly. Manly's getting a heap of players back. They've got, Gerbos and Burbos and Tuolungis and some other Muppets, but Schuster's still there at 5'8", not that he's doing much, and Garrick is getting the fullback role from now until the end of the season by the looks of things. And your boy, Sean Kepi, doesn't exist no more.
Doesn't exist, well, in the 22 jersey, but he's done his job. I've liked him. In the bye rounds, he was okay. And, not AE nightmare scenario, but strange to see him dropped. I thought he was, Manly haven't been going great, but not one of their worst players. But just a quick Burbo trivia. I love doing it. But how many owners do you reckon he's got at this point in time?
Oh, Burbo, he's always higher up than I expect. I reckon he's got 5,000.
Oh, he's got 10,000.
Oh, cool.
No idea how many of these still exist, but a good 20, 30 points off the pine. Is that just what the doctor ordered for you?
Perfect. Well, you remember that time he came in on an edge and dropped close to a ton or something and everyone grabbed him in, then he was dead again. This is classic Trbojevic.
Well, there you go.
At the moment.
There's a shortage of turbos in their side now with one going down, so Burbo needs to step up. But doesn't even play round 19. So there you go.
Nah.
If you've still got him, this is tears.
A couple more things. Joseph Suwali is back in for the Chooks, and he pushes, I want to say, Ponga out.
Ponga.
Yep. So he was a mid-season cheapy option, and he's now back into the extendeds. Nat Butcher is in the extendeds at the moment, but coming back from a concussion layoff, I believe, and his brother Egan Butcher is out with the concussion at the moment. So Satili Tupanua and Angus Crichton also out for the Chooks for extended periods. Tupanua's season might be done, as I understand it. He's going for surgery on a nerve issue.
I'm sure you can hear this annoying yappy little dog in the background, but maybe we're just not talking about the Bulldogs. I don't know. She's just anxious to hear about how another of our stellar NRL sides is going.
Yep. If we talk about the Bulldogs, we'll go on to that. Matty Burton is back. He missed the last they had the bye last weekend, and he missed the weekend before that, the loss against the Sharks, because he was 18th man for Origin. So he comes back in, and so does Harrison Edwards. Raymond Fitella Mariner has been named in the extended reserves for them after getting through reserve grade last weekend in his return game. And also back in is Josh Adokar.
The Fox. Basically, they're untouchable for Supercoach.
Yes. Yep. I wouldn't go anywhere near him at the moment. Matty Burton, to me, is a little bit interesting, but we'll talk about him a bit later.
Anything else in teamless news?
Let me find our list that we've got. Richie Kenner, he's coming into his third game for the Bunnies, is he? So he's got a negative record.
I think he's had three. I think three was last week. So he's up to 330K. He's still got negative five break even. So he looked, I think a lot of Bunnies fans don't like him.
He's one of those guys that sort of pops in here and there and puts in a couple of good scores and then goes missing again. I'm not even sure who he's replacing on the right wing for the Bunnies at the moment. So, I mean, anyone could come back at any time, I suppose, and maybe it's a Latrell thing pushing people around, but don't know. He's got the spot for the time being and isn't the worst cash grab, I suppose, because if he does drop out, he's not going to be an AE issue for you. And the other ones that we got, we're talking about the Tigers. You've got a couple of boys playing shared hooking roles for the Tigers in Simkin and De Silva. But, again, Appy with a jaw injury is returning in round 21 or 22, so it's only a couple more weeks. Getting these guys probably doesn't do too much for you, except that they'll play the next couple of weeks while through the buys.
It's a really tough position. I don't know about you. I've been running Robbo and JMK, who had one good week for me and then proceeds to get like a 20, go off at halftime and then miss the next two games. But it is a really tough position to nail down so far this year, because you got Grant, top of the hookers, I guess, in Origin. You got Cook in Origin. It's a really weird one. I don't know whether you just run with it cheaper.
Even that, you had Appy in Origin 1, Cook in Origin 2. And Robson in Origin 2 as well. Like, it just seems to be at any stage, any of these top guys could be out of the side for various reasons. You're right though. Like, I've had Grant and Robson as my hooking combination for the time being. I decided to go with Robson over JMK a couple of weeks ago just to see me through those first two big buy rounds, which seems to have backfired anyway, with him being selected for Origin. But, my ultimate aim was to move on to JMK sort of this week, next week, with Robson on the bye. So hopefully JMK gets back and I can keep that strategy in play.
I think ultimately if you've got two good hookers on their day, I guess, carry them through for the rest of the year, because I wouldn't be risking it with Simkin at this stage, just because we've seen, you know, with buys and with injuries and restings and all that kind of stuff, if you want to avoid an AE issue, it's best to have two pretty quality guys there. So,
absolutely.
Negative break even.
He does have a nice negative break even. And the only reason I would be seriously looking at him if I was still carrying Sonny Luke. Spend the extra 190K or whatever it is to go up to Simkin and try and slingshot yourself up to a better option in a couple of weeks. Yep.
100%. All right, before we go to a break, how about we move one of the segments up a little bit here, and that's captains and vices. I thought at the start of the week I had a pretty easy play, and that was to pick Nico Hines, captain on Thursday night. Never like doing it, but in a decently full week, only the para side have to buy. Risk the guys like Mawali and that stink up your side if you do go the loop route. So is it the time to use Nico straight C?
I will be. I cannot go past him. I said it in my post this week. It's just the Dragons are a mess. We saw what the Warriors did to him last week. SJ went bananas for 112. I mean, he's flying at the moment anyway, but plays that same right half position that Nico plays a very similar role. He's a goal-kicking half, all the same things. They're practically the same beautiful person in two different sides. So Nico could go massive this week based on what the Dragons are putting up. And then I looked into it a little bit further. Nico scored 180 on St. George in round 4 when he returned this year. It's the highest Supercoach score of the season. Nico dropped it earlier this year. And his previous games against them have been ridiculous. He always destroys them. He had that 182, I think, was in Magic round when Pappy got his head taken off, and then last year he had a 124 and 112 against him. So it's almost like an 100 score is his floor for a Dragons game. So, yeah, absolutely. I'm going straight C on Nico Hines.
And, I mean, they had the bye last round. We've seen so far this year that kind of helps freshen them up. He's obviously not been heavily involved in Origin with all the contention around that. But, yeah, you just got to think the Dragons, with all the mess going on there. Their minds aren't on it. They're off. They're dead last. So
yeah.
At home, Cronulla surely canter home. And even just the game before against the Dogs where he scored 129, I still didn't think he was at his best, being the astute judge that I am. But he just still looked like he had a lot of points in the bag. And whether he was overplaying his hand because of the whole Origin stuff, he was just doing enough to rack up Supercoach points. So you just think for the Sharkies, not a slump by any means, but not playing at their best, this could be a real big trigger.
Oh, so, absolutely. This could absolutely turn around their season. As you said, they're not putting huge wins on the board. They did destroy the Dogs a couple of weeks ago, as you said. But Nico could score 50-odd in goal kicks alone this week. Mm. If they put on a massive score, then he's every chance of going 150 again.
Only counterpoint to that, and the only other real option that I can see that's probably in a fair few sides, is Val Holmes, Cowboy, who I've actually just brought in myself. But Cowboy Val, on dry track, up against the Tigers, who, the 60-point game's still pretty fresh in my mind. I'm sure it's in the players as well. The Tigers running second last. Surely cannon fodder for the resurgent Cows, and Val kicking 30 goals.
Hope so. They have been playing some good footy lately. I will give them that. And Val, scored in Origin and then 3 days later scored a double against the Bunnies last week. So he seems to be hitting form as well. So I wouldn't turn my nose up at that one at all. Is that the way you're going to go?
I kind of want to de-risk it a little bit and go against the crowd. I mean, I mentioned Mowali, but I'm sure many other people have got options like him that'll score 20 or 30 if you have to loop. But I kind of just think if for whatever reason Hines can't get going, you've at least got that insurance play. But then you don't have to worry about loop and it's all that. It's a real, I don't know, I find it a toss of the coin. So I might even leave it up till Thursday night. The weather looks good in both Sydney and Townsville, so nothing really there that could sway me. And, I mean, they're both Dragons more so, the absolute basket case. So logic says Hines straight C, but the cowboy in me. Says Uncle Val. So anyway, we'll leave it to Thursday night. Any other left field ones, if for whatever reason you didn't have Hines? Or
I might say left field, but Davey Fifita still not an owner.
I am not. 140 break even, you definitely won't get that.
Well, maybe. let's look at his last scores. Since round 9, he's gone 114, 100, 111, 116. 16 when he backed up from Origin 1 and then 121 last week. So the man is absolutely flying. He's throwing out tons for fun.
It's not fun to watch. But when he's scoring against the Broncos, actually, on him, 100%, don't worry about it. Keep doing that, Davey boy. I agree, absolute option there. And if only he wasn't playing Origin because he's got the Fins. The Titans have the Fins the week after. So, I like it. I think play safe this week. You have a couple of really juicy options there if you do own. All right, let's get into a quick break and then we'll come back with some options there to hopefully carry you up the ladder a little bit.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I don't know how I've never used that absolute belter.
Absolutely. Flawless execution on that one.
I mean, first can you take me hot? Like, honestly, what an absolute tune. And it's making a resurgence. I don't know if you're following along all the TikToks and the Instagrams, or maybe it's just my algorithm.
A bit younger than my taste, unfortunately.
But Creed and Nickelback and all these bands seem to be making a late season resurgence, much like the Cowboys. So
I was talking to a friend about this the other day. I saw a post or a video somewhere that said that all of the music that I used to listen to, it played a good 5 or 6 songs, and they're now considered dad rock. And I went, that hurts.
Nothing wrong with that. Would you consider Creed 1990, or maybe that was 2000? No, I think it was 99. Would you consider that dad rock?
Yeah, mate. That's almost 30 years ago.
Oh, jeez. do not remind me of the big 3-0 now. But yeah, much like Scott Stapp, we can try and take you higher here because we got some trade-ins and outs. Maybe prefacing all of that before we get into how much we can take you higher. Is this a week to hold? If you have no burning holes in your side, we might talk about a couple of them, and you know you don't have that many trades up the sleeve, is it best to just wait and see how Origin plays out, how some of these guns drop in price or whatever? Is it worth just holding fire? Seems to be round to do it.
I think so. This is a good week for it. Again, look ahead to next week. If you don't have the 13 that we require for next week, maybe make some plans heading towards that. Keeping in mind that the week after that can be a little bit tricky with the 3 teams following on from the 6 next that are out next week. But, it seems like a very good week to hold. A lot of people, have gone heavy on Parramatta.
Yep.
So they'll be missing a couple of people, but more than everybody else will be fielding a 17 this week without too much issue, I would hazard a guess. So it could be a good week to hold, and that's what I was looking at earlier on before this JMK news came back. Mm-hmm. So, definitely a good week to hold, in my opinion.
Yep, and not a lot of huge players coming in to play round 19. I've listed a couple of them out who are in Origin frame and some that won't even play next week. But, it doesn't seem if you can hold fire, and I know the trigger finger tends to get pretty itchy at this time of week, if you can hold fire, it's probably not a bad one just to keep the trades up for a real emergency. Just having a look ahead, round 20, as you mentioned, Dragons, Rabbitohs, Raiders. So Dragons and Raiders, not overly. If you've got Campbell Graham, Cody Walker, AJ, Kaloa Matangi, if you've got heavy Rabbitohs contingent, I guess maybe be a little bit wary. But, if you don't, you could probably, go ahead worry-free for the next couple of rounds. But anyway, we just talked about how good it is to hold. So let's talk about some options and maybe, get that trigger released. I've got a couple up the top here in terms of outs. A lot of people moving this guy on, Josh Schuster. In the news this week for the whole schmozzle with Luke Brooks coming. He's no longer going to be the first choice 5/8. He's going to move back to second row, but not from this week. I thought there might have been a case to push him back to second row, and I thought that could be an interesting play for Supercoach, but he's going to stink it up in the number 6 for the foreseeable. So what are you an owner?
I am an owner, and I'm absolutely looking to move him on. He's a guy that, and similar to Katoa, if they're in the 5/8 position, you got these in the 5/8 position, I think it's a spot to go up. You have to move them up to a gun. But who that is at the moment is a bit tricky. With Schuster at second row, there's a few more options open at the moment. But as you mentioned, a lot of guys are either missing next week or on Origin or something like that. So it's a bit of a tricky week for it, regardless of whether you want to punt him or not.
Mm. I'm actually going to go and make a pretty bold call here. I reckon Schuster beats his break even a 68 this week against the Roosters.
Yeah, the Schuster are in a bit disarray. So I can see that happening. It could be his one game where he actually pulls something out and makes things worthwhile, the second of the year.
Mate, honestly, Supercoach, how often does it teach us that lesson? Oh. Everyone makes the safe move, easy move. He's been terrible. Absolutely. He'll be useless, and then he'll go and drop a ton, and then we're going, you absolute so-and-so. you know, yep. Reece Walsh style. I can just see it. So I actually made the call. I've got both him and Sean Kepi, who, as we said at the start, is in the 22 jerseys. Is out of the side completely. I've moved him on basically the same price. Kepi, I guess, less risky because he's not playing, won't move anywhere in price, where Schuster could. But I've made the call. He's a warm body in my side. I'm not going to play him, but I'll just hang on to him just in case something. He's signed the new deal. You know, the future's ironed out. If he moves to second row, it'll improve him. But I don't know. I just see him as a bit of an X factor. And Manly have a decent run home. Like, in terms of playing some real, you know, shitty teams, so I think the Dogs and Tigers to close the year out. I mean, who knows what that could be, but, you know, just holding him there for matchups and necessity. But the first thing I did when I opened the app on lockout, post lockout, was boot him, because obviously the 20 is
really, you've got to do it for your mental health.
Yes. So I felt good at the time.
Yep.
Reversed it this afternoon and did Kepi instead. So I'm just keeping the shoe around, and I reckon he's going to go 70 plus this week. Just to really stick it in the craw, because that's what people do. That's what these guys do. Stink it up for you while you got them, and go to town when you don't. So, yeah, I think either way, merit to holding and punting. What about Ruben Garrick?
Say, listen, on Schuster, just before we move off, he is a guy that I'm probably holding as well, because, as I said, it's a week to hold trades, but he's definitely on the chopping block for me. On Garrick, as you just mentioned, huge break even this week, pushing up towards 180. But for me, he's a hold. Goal kicking fullbacks are just absolutely gold in this game. I know Manly is also, you know, struggling at the moment, and are they going to put points on and whatnot? They got a few troops back this week, as I mentioned, that's getting their starting 17 closer to being healthy. Obviously, no Turbo there hurts that, but Garrick has been massive this in the fullback position. He averages over 70 points over the last 3 years when he's filling in back there. So obviously all those are without Turbo anyways. I still think he can have a good run and be a solid contributor to your center wings on the run home.
Yep, 100% agreed. He got a 62 in a pretty down game without a try last round. It was a pretty ordinary effort by Manly, all things considered, and he still scores 60. So ignore the break even. It's a popular one. I can't even justify it if you've got trades. So he's got the Roosters this week, who are in all sorts. Cows coming off Origin the week after that, both at home. Decent record there, obviously. So, you know, ignore the break even. It doesn't actually impact unless you sell. So I'm with you. I think Garrick, don't rage trade. Hold him for the run home. There's going to be some pretty good matchups. Speaking of easy sells, we mentioned a couple of guys, but Zach Hosking. So had a brief revival last round. He was named in 18, got onto the field when Liam Martin didn't make it back, but he is now out of the side on the extendeds, and I think his time's up. So
I think so. He appears to be a fair way down the order now. It was always between him and Sorensen, wasn't it? When all the guys were out, and now that they're coming back, Sorensen's been given the tick and Hosking's back in reserve grade. And same can be said for Tyrone Peachy, really. He's there just to cover center wings when they're out or injured or suspended. So it's probably a good time to move both those guys on.
Yeah. No, agreed. The only thing is, though, I mean, I guess we said it with Schuster and that, but good week to hold, even better for Hosking, because he's not going to go anywhere in price. So if you don't have anyone you really want to strike on this round and you want to just save it for round 19, an X-factor kind of play, once Origin's settled, say Kaloa Matangi, you hold off on him and just make sure he's not in the Origin side, a move like that could be pretty good. So rather than pulling the trigger this round, but I think, and I'll throw to you as well to see what you reckon, if you were going to bump him up to someone of sort of comparable price, not a Fifita, I'd go Britton Nakora.
Britton Nakora was the one that was just on the tip of my tongue. So he's an absolutely fantastic pick. If you've got a little bit of extra dollars in the bank, you could go someone like Jermaine Hopgood for the Eels, potentially. Kaloa Matangi is interesting, but as you said, he misses round 20. Not too many other options about Fifita, as you mentioned, but he won't be there through Origin. He's obviously top of the pops. So, definitely a guy like a Kaloa Matangi if he's there, or a Britton Nakora. So it was the other one. And I suppose for the Tigers, you got Johnny Bateman and Papali'i around who are doing a job. All their buys have been done now, so that's all a clean run home for those guys. You don't have to worry about them missing any more games too.
Yeah, what about Ice or Papali'i? I mean, Bateman, I went on him a couple of rounds ago, pretty happy with that call. But Papali'i, is he just waiting to kick on? He hasn't yet. So I'm not sure how to what to read there.
He's been doing well without being, you know, what he was at Parramatta. He's sort of poking around the low 60s, high 50s most weeks. He got his season high of 82 last weekend against Melbourne. Of all games, but I think he's probably, you know, he won't be what he was last year. He's got a lot of sharing with Johnny Bateman there playing lock now, who's playing all over the field. So, you know, I think he's probably topping her out at around a 60, 65 most weeks.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, the name for the game over the next 10 weeks or so is, I reckon, Guns or Nuffs almost. So a guy like Isaiah Papali'i with too many 50s floating in the average or in the scoreline so far this season is probably not it.
That's right. And I think there's just too many other better options that you can get on the run home. You want to go for guys that can, you know, bang out a 120 on any given week. Someone like a Koloa Matangi or the Guok. Amoli Olakau'atu. Yep. So those guys are firmly on my radar well before Papali'i.
Talk about Guok, because I know Amoli, because you've mentioned him in your article today. You are pretty keen on him. What's the reasoning?
Very, very. He's bottomed out. He's been carrying a bit of a leg injury for most of the year, I believe, and seems to have been gotten over that. He posted again his season high last weekend, and I just went and had a bit of a look in at some of the stats that he's played with or without Trbojevic. And last year he averaged 53 with Turbo in the side. But when Turbo was out of the side, the ball went to Guok a lot more and he scored 72 points per game. So without Turbo on the run home, I'm thinking they possibly target him as a strike weapon on the right edge, and he can get back to put in a few offensive scores back to back and really come home strong. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, at a decent price too, 552K. Admittedly, we just talked about Papali'i at the same sort of range and not to go him, but do you see him as Olakau'atu as a guy that can rise from the fallen gun position more so than Papali'i?
Absolutely. I'd very much targeting Olakau'atu over a Papali'i type. The only problem with that is that he misses next week in the big buy round. He has a break even of 55. So even if he does score another 80 odd this week, he's not going to rise in price too much. You can get him for around 550, 560 next, round 20. So that's exactly where I'll be targeting him.
Quick one to throw to you. Jacob Preston, run home player or not?
I think a depth piece. He is still in my side. He's not someone I've really toyed with trading out, because I think if I can get some other guys around him, he'll provide some valuable depth on the way home as a play if needed type player. He's similar to Papali'i, I suppose. He's sort of scoring 60s most weeks without putting a massive score on. He's done that once this year and really been solid every other game without being spectacular.
Yep. No, I'm pretty high on him. I traded Wilton out over him a couple of weeks ago. And, yeah, I think Preston, for what he can do, a lot of daytime games. I did a stat or did a quick look over a couple of weeks ago just to what the Dogs run home looks like. And I think almost all of their games were in the daytime. So we know tired bodies at the end of the year tend to open up defensive lines a little bit more and that kind of thing. So I like him definitely as a depth play. And we know injuries strike. So, you know, you get to round 26, 27, and you got some injuries to your key forwards for feeder or whatever. A guy like Preston easily fits into your sides. You're not worrying at all. So in terms of playing every single week, maybe not, but definitely more than comfortable to keep him in the side. Even if, I guess, Kikau comes back, I'm not sure how that all will fit into the rotation, but can easily wait and see.
I think Preston plays on the left and Kikau was playing on the right, if I believe. So they played a couple of games together at the start of the year where they were both there. But, again, they've got to fit guys like RFM and Harrison Edwards in now, who's been playing bit parts. So they're all sort of coming back. It will be interesting to see what a sort of rotation they've got, but definitely he's a hold for me until proven otherwise.
Yep. I'm going to turn the attention now to mid-range center wings. So I've got a stack of them. I've been slowly getting rid of them. I've had Paul Alamotti for a long, long time. Thankfully got rid of him last week, so no doubt he'll turn up in round 19. But Sunir Taruva for the Panthers. So doesn't play round 19, but does have the Finns and Dogs coming up with the full strength contingent back for Penrith. So a little bit worried about moving him on this round. Cam Pereira, a lot of people still have him. Not sure if they're dead teams, but he looks like he can go turn it on a good day. Kiraz, slowly coming back from that injury. And then finally, another one I've just listed down, Asuoli'i as a winger, 390K. Pretty disappointing at centre so far this season. But we're talking about guns and nuffs. Is there merit to keeping these guys that I've mentioned there in your side, or is it time to start gunning up, trading down, gunning up?
It's a weird position, the center wing, because you can go absolutely gun up, and like even guys like To'o have been struggling at times this year. So, you know, these guys can do a job. Maybe it's if you've got them as your sixth center wing, it'd be worth holding on to them just as, again, a plug and play or an injury cover if you need it. But, you know, seventh center wing, if you're still carrying guys like this with a fully stacked center wing position, then you know, nuff them out and get some cash to upgrade the other one per se. You know, Taruva is an interesting one because his work rate is phenomenal when he gets going, and he puts his hand up and he runs and tackles and all that other stuff. But the unfortunate thing with him is he's either playing outside Peachy or he's playing outside Tungo, and both of them are glue hands. Neither of them want to pass to their left. So his scoring is limited by that, I believe. And Kiraz is in a similar boat. Avarillo loves to step off his right and go back inside. So those sorts of guys I think are worth holding, but temper expectations on them. Alamotti's and AKP's, I think it's time to upgrade them.
Yep. I mean, I think Taruva, I've got him. So I've actually made a move to get rid of him and gun up to Val this week. So,
yep.
I mean, the games against Finns and Dogs, I mean, he's had pretty good matchups throughout the year, but just hasn't had the attacking ball because, as you've said, he's got glue hand centers inside of him. But, yeah, he's 520-odd K, so he's a pretty easy flip up if you trade down. We'll talk about a couple of enough options. But, yeah, I think now's the time over the next few rounds to start jettisoning these guys, because having a look at some of the performers in the center wing so far, you've got Osaka, you've got Campbell Graham, Garrick Holmes, Meany, Mulatalo, CNK, AJ. Like, there's a stack of players there who are in that 600, 700, 800K mark who will kill you in the run home if you don't own. So, I mean, these guys might bump out a couple of nice price rises, but I think it's crucial to look at points over cash over the next few weeks. So, starting to get rid of these guys, and it's feeling pretty good.
Sorry, mate, you didn't mention the best of the best of them. That's Greg Marju.
Sorry, well, I figured that he's just in every single side.
Yeah, it should be.
Is he like two hit ups a set? It's unbelievable. Like,
he's playing as a sixth forward for the Knights. He does everything. It's really fun to watch as a Knights.
No wonder he's too tired to make the bus on time. Like, honestly, cut him some slack.
That's exactly right.
Jesus Christ. So you'll get to the end of the year and he'll be sick in the bathrooms or something.
O'Brien's absolutely cutting him because he's been carrying the side all year and needs a bit of a break. So
surely he just throws out, I just bought my first house and I was a bit overwhelmed and got a bit too excited, had a bad hot dog. What did Ponga say last year?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, it's just a mate helping a mate.
Don't worry. And who was it last year? Nari Tuala. Same deal. Should have waited till you heard what Ponga's excuses were. But anyway, no, how good's Greg Marju? But anyhow, Origin guns, moving away from center wings. I've got a couple of names down here. We're talking about points over cash and that kind of thing. But these are names that will hurt you. I think not owning them maybe this round and beyond. Dave Fifita, we've spoken about him. Huge break even. So I guess a comfortable avoid this week if you can. But geez, like as you've said, 5 or 6 tons in his last 7 games. It's unreal. Yeah. Misses round 19,
he's one of those guys that if you don't have him now, just wait a week. you know, he might score another ton, but he'll lose a little bit of cash, and then he misses next week and then possibly rest the week after. So worthwhile waiting on him. If you do have him,
yep,
hold. He's just a hold either way.
Yep.
Because it's not worth trading him out for the sake of saving 30K or something if he puts up a good score.
I think my rule for next year is just pick this guy from round one. I'm so sick of every year I do this. Every year.
He was rubbish. And yeah, so no one picked him this year based on that, and he's killing it. So.
Classic super coach. Kerr Munster, a lot of people trading him in. Somewhat surprised to see that. I think people made the move last week and hopefully checked team list news with Stilesy to see that he was out, but a lot of people jumped on money. Didn't make it into the side post Caxton hangover, but break even of 56. Game against, who is it? Is it Penrith down in Melbourne this week?
Yeah.
So pretty tough matchup. Same with Fifita, would just be holding fire. I expect him to back up.
Are you superstitious at all, Jazzy?
I'm not. No, not really. But why should I be?
Oh, he's Munster's coming up against Penrith at 666K. Ooh. So it just could be a bit of a devil game for him, and could be a struggle. So, and then misses next week. I think if I didn't own him, I'm sitting off and watching this week. I just want to see what happens.
Yeah, could be fireworks. I'm looking forward to seeing the matchup. Storm, maybe a bounce back game for them last round. So keen to see how they go against the competition favourites. Val Holmes, I've traded him in this round. Break even of 11, 756K. The matchup against the Tigers. I'm sick of watching him as a Cows fan stroll over for huge points and not be on it. Yeah. So bided my time far too long. I'm keen for immediate results for this one here. So big Unky Val, welcome to the side. Anyone else from
great
Origin?
Great pick. I'd say Val's really turned it around. Origin boys, no, I'm still, you know, you can hear me clicking around in the background. I keep refreshing on this page to see what's happening with Reece Walsh, but it's just a jaunt now to go and make some decisions. So we'll see if it happens before the end of the podcast. But no, not really. I don't think there's anyone that really jumps out at me as far as a origin gun goes that I have to get in. On the other side of things, like a James Tedesco who is playing origin and is absolutely trash at the moment, I think he can be moved on pretty quickly. If you still have him, I don't think it's worthwhile persisting with him the way he's playing and the way the Roosters are playing.
Just back onto the Reece Walsh thing. I always love when you follow these judiciary stories along and you see the random people they've got on the judiciary. How's Tony Pulitua and ex-referee Sean Hampstead fronting? I mean, it's not quite Dallas Johnson and Sean Garlick or whoever the hell else they put. I always loved when I see Dallas Johnson, the man with 1,000 head knocks.
There must be just some sort of like old boys group chat where they just go, anybody free on Tuesday?
It's $100 and you get a Garlow's meat pie for your troubles. But it's hilarious because they get these QCs in front of them and they start talking all this legal jargon. Yep. I just can't imagine. The players are, they might be befuddled. Maybe that's why so many players get off at this judiciary, just the legal mumbling.
Yeah, Tony Porter was there like, I've heard way worse.
Yeah, he's a good bloke. Anyway, Nuffs, just to round this whole thing out here. So Nuffs, we're talking about players who won't play for the rest of the year, fingers crossed. Doesn't always work out that way, but guys that safely will not come into the side and ruin your week with a 15 or something off the bench. So you're trying to look at guys who are not going to play, might be injured, might be in sides with pretty stacked forward packs. I've picked a couple of them out just to, if you are looking at downgrades, as we've spoken about, these could be the options, preferably dual positioning. So I've got three of them. Miles Martin, front row, second row from Newey, bottom dollar. Mm-hmm. Anything about this guy?
I heard he's a talent, but he's a fair way off. So he's pretty safe to grab if need be. I don't think he's going to be coming in anytime soon.
Jack Howarth, second row, centre wing. It's always fun flexibility for the Storm. Yeah,
it is, but just on Howarth has always sort of been mentioned as could be close to, you know, the next man up sort of thing. Don't think he's any real risk of coming in, but you just don't know. He's always touted every year and he's always floating around in teams. So who knows? Maybe he gets a couple of runs at the back end of the year if the Storm have wrapped up finals early.
Yeah, that could be a danger. So he, I think, is playing in New South Wales Cup. Had a quick squeeze. Can't see anything immediately, but suspect he might not be that far away. And Viliami Fifita for St. George. He's second row, front row as well. Has occasionally been named in the extended reserves. So given how bad the Dragons are, he could get a call up. So another risky, I guess, kind of option there. But I think out of the three, I'd be going a guy like Miles Martin. Good front row, second row flexibility.
Yeah, I think so.
Way down.
There's another bloke by the name of Bailey Hodgson that plays for the Knights who's injured at the moment. Fullback, center wing eligibility. So look for those guys that have been struck out through injury. You know they're not going to come in and ruin your weekend.
Yep, absolutely. Finally, low break evens. How's Tautau Monga? Third game this year. He's been stuck on a negative 44 break even for months while he's been off injured. Finally gets a return. He's 494K. How's the short-term price grab on this guy?
Oh, he's going to go flying. But let's say very expensive man to get in. Very terrible team to get him from. He's scored a 111 in the game he got hurt, and he scored a 98 the week before that. He's just not going to do that every week. He's not going to do that again. I would put solid money on it. So very short-term gain sort of thing, and before you'll be wanting to get him back out again.
I mean, if you're falling asleep at the wheel and you've still got 20-something trades up your sleeve, why not? Why not get him in for round 18 and 19? You just never know. The ageless veteran goes on a rampage. We've seen it all before. So Monga, if you, for whatever reason, got trades, go for it, I reckon. Sandon Smith, negative 42 break-even for the Roosters. Again, speaking about terrible teams, 274K, plays a pretty good game. I've liked watching him so far. He's getting pretty heavily involved. Only issue is I don't know what the Roosters are doing. This talk of, well, it's coming out of Buzz Rothfield's wine-soaked mouth, but the move to 5'8", you got Joey Manu there, like... Sam Walker seemingly nowhere to be seen.
But Sam Walker's due back next week, I believe. So I wouldn't be going near Sandon Smith. I think it'd be a very short-term grab.
Yep, and doesn't play round 19, or the Roosters don't play round 19, so you're kind of missing out on that there.
Good point,
so, he's kind of the only one there. Jack Simkin, we kind of spoke about negative 26 break even, but timeshare with the other guy from the Tigers. Apologies for my memory, but
De Silva.
De Silva, thank you. Hooker's just a wasteland for Supercoach scoring this year. So if you're just desperate for numbers for next week, sure. But otherwise, save the trade.
Yes, agreed.
Final words of wisdom, mate. Anything you learned in Portugal you want to share? Any jokes, intercontinental jokes?
No jokes except for my love life, unfortunately. But, it's good to be back. Had a great time, but I can't wait to get stuck into some footy this weekend and actually start counting some points over again. It's nothing like sitting down with a cold beer and counting tackles because your players are getting one extra point each set.
Oh, what a fun world we live in, mate. It's actually always funny when you talk to people about fantasy football that they just don't get it. Whatever. You know, if you're not counting tackles, where's the fun? It's exactly the fun of living and dying by a round 27 Bulldogs Tigers blockbuster.
That's exactly right. They've said nothing has helped the NRL more than nerds playing fantasy football and counting stats. So, because nowadays we watch every single game.
We do. Why else would you do it other than the love of rugby league? Thank you very much, Lakey. It's great to have you back.
Good to be back.
I hope work doesn't break you. I know the public sector tends to do it, but I hope for now they're nice to you and you can ease back into it. I mean, you were straight away with your article today, so clearly... You've managed to work-life balance a little well.
Working from home on a Monday really helps that out, right? So I've managed to sort that out perfectly.
There you go. All right, it's going to be a fun little run into the end of the year. So looking forward to having you on the pod next week and beyond. Lakey, all the best and catch you next week.
Thanks, bud.
Creed.
Just a remix of the two. Perfect.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.